On June 22nd, the Humboldt County Drug Task Force, with support from the Fortuna Police Department, executed a significant drug bust resulting in the arrest of Rene Hernandez Pulido, a 28-year-old resident of Eureka. In a press release, agents stated that this operation was part of an ongoing effort to curb narcotics trafficking in the region. The investigation began when HCDTF agents tracked Hernandez Pulido's journey from Humboldt County to Los Angeles. Upon his return, agents initiated a traffic stop on their vehicle. Fortuna Police Officer Stevens, accompanied by his canine partner, conducted an open-air sniff around the vehicle. Canine Kane alerted the officers to the presence of drugs. A subsequent search revealed a substantial stash of narcotics, 2.2 pounds of cocaine and fentanyl mixed. The seized drugs are estimated to have a street value of approximately $25,000. Hernandez Pulido was taken into custody and transported to the Humboldt County Correctional Facility, where he faces multiple charges, including transportation of a controlled substance for sale. The Drug Task Force encourages anyone with information related to this case or other narcotic-related crimes to contact 707-267-9976. This recent arrest has raised concerns regarding fentanyl-laced drugs in the county. To gauge its prevalence and learn more about the tools available to avoid an overdose and keep the community safe, KMA News reached out to Hatcher.
Hi, my name is Ethan McCulloch. I'm the executive director of the Humboldt Area Center for Harm Reduction. Our organization is a local nonprofit situated in Arcata that provides services to people who use drugs. It would be hard to say for certain if fentanyl was widespread in every drug everywhere, but it is certainly something that's popping up in a lot of different substances. And I think one of the primary dangers of it is it showing up in substances that people aren't expecting it to. Fentanyl is a very strong opioid, but it is also an opioid that people have used in medical settings for decades, but also just recreationally and for personal use for a long time. It is an opioid like any other, just an especially potent one. So I think fear from it tends to come when people are coming across it unexpectedly. They think they're taking something else, and thus the small dosage of it that can cause an overdose is very easy to take by accident.
Hatcher distributes Narcan, an overdose reversal drug, and drug testing kits for free. They have a mobile outreach schedule that offers services in Arcata and Eureka on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and delivery services outside of these areas on Wednesdays.
In particular, there's basic drug testing kits that you can take, that you can get and use on your substances and find out what's in them. In particular, there's a lot of fentanyl test strips. Our organization provides those. And if you know that fentanyl is in your substance and you can know to use less, maybe not use at all, or at least use with a friend nearby who has some Narcan just in case something goes wrong.
Prior to working for Hatcher, McCulloch was with the Yurok Tribe Wellness Coalition, providing overdose prevention, education, and resources through community naloxone trainings, and uses his education as a scientifically informed practice of care and mutual aid for individuals who use drugs.
Fentanyl, there's a lot of myths around that come up with it. There's an idea that it's so potent that it's just even being in the same room as it puts you at risk for an overdose, or just touching it puts you at risk for an overdose. Those are all myths. Fentanyl is a substance that cannot be absorbed just by touching it in powder form, and it is a substance that it isn't some magical, special, evil poison that's floating out there. It's an opioid that many people have used for a long time. And so I think the danger of it comes from when it's there unexpectedly, when it's there in potencies and dosages that are unexpected, which does tend to happen in the local drug market and in any drug market. But I really see the danger of fentanyl coming from a lack of information and a lack of support around people who are potentially getting exposed to it.
Hatcher distributes Narcan, an overdose reversal drug, and drug testing kits for free. They have a mobile outreach schedule that offers services in Arcata and Eureka on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and delivery services outside of these areas on Wednesdays.
I personally am of the opinion that even if you are not someone who is actively using those substances in your life or feels that that's a big risk for you, that it's good to have Narcan and test strips and other harm reduction tools on you in case you come across someone who needs them or you have other people in your life who do. It's just a basic safety technique so that we can all keep each other safe.
You can learn more about Hatcher and the services they provide at their website. That's HACHR707.org. With Humboldt County's Measure Z revenue declining and the county facing an $18 million deficit, departments like Public Works are making difficult decisions.
I have to cut to the bone in certain places.
That was Tom Mattson, the director of Public Works, who explained that another tax measure may be added to the ballot in the near future to compensate for the financial shortcomings.
Basically, the board has directed county staff to look at the possibility of a local revenue measure in November. So we're trying to focus on what the community really wants out of the county, but we're also, showcasing how bad the roads are and why they are.
The rural nature of the county has always had impacts on the local road system, but he attributes the expedited deterioration to the recent disasters.
Up until about 2017, the roads weren't perfect, but they weren't as bad as they are, and they weren't in shape to get worse. But in 2017, we got hit with $41 million in storm damage to our roads. 2019, another $15 million. And then from 2022 to 2024, we've had basically three federal declared disaster, the state declared disaster for the earthquake, and a local disaster for imminent road failure out in Centerville.
Compounding this crisis is the federal funding benchmarks, which are usually not met in rural and low-income communities like Humboldt.
The total value for California to get a federally declared disaster is really based on home values in the more expensive areas of the state, LA, San Francisco area. So for instance, the earthquake that devastated Riodale damaged over 100 houses. We did not meet the federal damage requirement, but I can tell you straight face that if that earthquake would have hit Marin County and there would have been 100 houses damaged, we would have hit that minimum value in a flash. And that value right now is about $73 million before the feds will even consider providing aid to any kind of disaster in California.
With the road seeing approximately $40 million in damages due to seismic activity, flooding, and other impacts, it doesn't meet the $70 million target. Matching federal grants are available. However, Mattson says,
well, right now I've got $17 million in capital projects that I'm not going to be able to do this year because I have no local match or cash flow to cover those projects. So they're going to be pushed out at least a year, if not more. That includes a safety project, that includes a number of storm damage projects. We just have to make the priorities because the maintenance is cut to the bone and I can't continually cut maintenance and not do any maintenance. So there's got to be a balance there. And those projects are just going to have to wait so we can still have at least some money to fill potholes and cut brush and, do the striping and the signing that we need. And I have to use that money that would go for maintenance to pay for these projects. Otherwise, the projects don't get done. So we're in a vicious circle where I'm repairing storm damage, but having to defer maintenance in order to do so. And when you defer maintenance, it just costs more in the long run.
At the current levels of funding, most county roads will be rated as failed by 2033. Data from the U.S. Department of Transportation shows that California has the worst roads in the country, with Humboldt County having some of the worst roads in the state. An independent pavement management study identified $500 million in road repairs needs over the next 10 years. And Mattson says delaying maintenance and repairs increases costs in the long run.
And when we talk about the overall picture of, getting to what we call the pavement condition index of 70, pavements are rated from 0, which is your gravel road, to 100, which is a brand new road. Well, if they're above 70, they're actually cheaper to maintain and keep in good shape. It's kind of like putting a roof on your house before your ceiling collapses into your kitchen. our ceiling is collapsing into our kitchen on our road system. We're to the point where if we keep up what we're doing right now, the roads are just going to continue to get worse, and we need to do something to turn that tide.
With the county budget in a multi-million dollar deficit and looming costs, the county hopes the public can share feedback and list their priorities with 9 different services, including maintaining 911 emergency response times, maintaining local streets and roads to reduce the need for future repairs, providing communication services for first responders after natural disasters, becoming eligible for additional state and federal matching funds for road repair, repairing deteriorating county roads, climate action, including transit, maintaining and expanding bus services for seniors, low income, and people with disabilities, and providing services to address homelessness. The community's response will be used to craft a possible new ballot measure to fund these services.
There's a variety of things that have popped up, and these things actually came out of a survey the county did last November. 600 plus registered voters throughout, or likely voters throughout the county. And these were the top priorities at that time. At that time, they were looking at the possibility of a revenue measure on the March ballot. That did not happen. So they want to refine those, because reality is, even with a local measure, it's not going to generate enough money to cover all of those issues. So we, you know, the board is going to discuss this on July 23rd, and we're trying to get them as much information as possible about what the community really puts as a priority. So how it will play in is really looking at the language of any ballot initiative and making sure that, you know, like Measure Z has some very specific, even though it's a general tax, it you know, refers to some very, very specific items. And that's what they're looking for, again, at this time, is really what is that slate of items the public wants to invest in. And then that goes into a ballot language. And from there, that becomes basically the constitution of, you know, if it gets placed on the ballot and passes, that's basically the constitution of how the money's spent. So it doesn't all just go to, you know, one place and a dedicated 2/3 vote, but there's, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 top items the public really wants that, you know, we're not providing at this time, or we're not providing very well.
Concluding, Mattson stated that road crews are doing their best to work with what they have, but tough decisions lie ahead.
Well, we know for the road system, if things don't change, the needs will not be met. But we are facing, I think, an $18 million deficit this year. And, you know, that's using some reserves, which is never a good idea, but we have to do what we have to do. The board, you know, the board has offered voluntary, you know, furloughs, separation incentives and a hiring freeze, but those reductions are just not going to cut it in the long term. So we either need to find ways to tighten our belts more, which means less county services, or find out that the services that people are willing to fund over and above what we have right now. In some roads, you know, we've reverted back to gravel. Other roads are not getting maintained in a timely manner, and they're deteriorating more. But realistically, we can only do what we have the budget to do.
The Humboldt County Community Feedback Survey is online and available at humboldtgov.org/roads911. The survey will remain open until Friday, June 28th. For more information, you can contact 707-445-7266. The North Coast Growers Association has been helping local farmers, ranchers, food producers, and makers of artisan goods since the late 70s in Humboldt County. You can find fresh harvests and local goods at markets from Willow Creek to Shelter Cove, ensuring that our community has access to fresh and local food. Now, they are asking for the community's support after their market van broke down beyond repair.
My name's Isabel. I am the communications coordinator for the North Coast Growers Association. We are the nonprofit organization that makes all of the certified farmers markets in Humboldt County happen. We're very dedicated to supporting our community farmers market. They're an essential hub of fresh local produce and artisan goods, and a lot goes on behind the scenes to make the farmers markets happen.
She explained that NCGA is currently facing significant challenges following the totaling of their vehicle, which has been crucial for transporting all necessary market supplies.
Our beloved market truck, which is essential for operating all of our farmers markets, has finally broken down beyond repair. This vehicle is crucial for transporting all of our necessary market supplies. And when something happens like this, all of our employees and our team jumps into action to make things work. So we've been able to borrow a vehicle in the meantime. We're actually renting something from another organization in the meantime to make things happen. But it's causing increased costs, and it's causing a lot of extra work and a lot of juggling to make it work with a vehicle that's not set up for our needs. So we really need a reliable vehicle to maintain our operations and the vibrant and thriving markets that our community loves.
To keep markets running smoothly and ensure that fresh local food remains accessible, NCGA is holding a fundraiser to support the purchase of a new vehicle.
So we have a website, NorthCoastGrowersAssociation.org, and you can go to our website. On our homepage, there's a link to our donation page where you can donate directly. There's also on that link, you'll find a donation request letter, which you can share with friends or other business owners who are willing to donate. And if you visit our website, there's plenty of more information about the fundraiser that we're going to be holding for the season to raise enough money to cover the cost of a new vehicle. This will be the first new vehicle that we've ever bought. And we're hoping that by purchasing a new vehicle, it will last a really long time. It will limit higher maintenance costs and ensure reliability.
Every dollar donated will bring NCGA closer to their goal of $75,000. The total cost includes the purchase price of a new reliable vehicle, plus a customized build-out required for their particular storage needs inside the vehicle. They're hoping to use the first $20,000 as a down payment.
We really appreciate all of our community support. Your generous contribution will help us continue serving our community without interruption. We also are starting to launch a market sponsorship program to promote local businesses while supporting our local food system. So if any local businesses are interested in sponsoring any of our markets, they can reach out to us through our website or by calling us at 707-441-9999.
The North Coast Growers Association is a 501c3 nonprofit, and contributions are tax deductible. You can learn more about their fundraiser and other programs online at northcoastgrowersassociation.org.
The Mendocino Coast Healthcare District has taken a grand jury report to heart and is working to clean up its finances and organize its policies. The new chair says financial projections indicate that the district will have enough money to perform a state-mandated seismic retrofit of the hospital and deferred maintenance without asking voters to approve a bond. The grand jury report, titled Mendocino Coast Healthcare District, Sick but Returning to Health, says the grand jury has received over three times as many complaints about the healthcare district as any other county governing body in the last several years. The report, dated June 12th of this year, recommends a voter-approved bond to raise money for the seismic retrofit of the hospital, which came under the management of Adventist Health shortly after the start of the pandemic. However, the district would need a solid bond rating to get a good interest rate on a bond. That would demand careful documentation of the healthcare district board's activities, which is sketchy at best. The report notes that the district's financial issues do not stem from lack of money, but rather mismanagement of what they have. In April, Wayne Allen, the district's newly hired chief financial officer, told the district's board that over $6 million was in banks without FDIC coverage, and that most of it was also not earning interest. He calculated that the district was missing out on over $800 in interest payments a day, violating the state's rules for investing surplus public funds. Paul Garza, who's been the chair of the healthcare district since August of last year, says the money has now been tallied up, and he expects that the seismic retrofit can be paid for by the deadline in 2030.
We have three sources of money. There's a basic assessment, property assessment. The second was the 2016 bond I mentioned earlier. And the third is Measure C. That was passed by the voters in 2018. And lastly, we have rent from Adventist Health. The combination of all of those will enable us to acquire over that period of time $25 million. Now, that's matched with the about $13 to $13.5 million we have on hand now. And with some moderate projections of interest, that brings us up to a total of about $41 million. Now, in addition to that, there's been a great deal of planning that we've had done by architectural firms in the past. And their estimate for the cost of these things that would be the Seidrick retrofit, expansion of the surgery ward, expansion of the emergency room, comes in at currently at $34 million. So this is the total amount of money we will have available to us between now and 2030. So with the planning that we need, we can just kind of step by step go at it, and we should have adequate resources. If for any reason, and we don't foresee that, but for any reason we get to a point where we need to expend a little bit more than the money that we have on hand, we can go into the market and get a loan for that amount because we can show the resources. We did two things that I think were very smart. First of all, the prior boards had no staff. So we engaged with a consultant firm, but it's a government organization as opposed to a private consulting firm called Regional Government Services. Okay, and we brought them in on a contractual basis to manage the district. That began to change things immediately, and we began to get an understanding of our finances. And then the individual that was hired by Regional Government Services, Kathy Wiley, who many people in the community know very well, was able to convince Wayne Allen, who was formerly the CEO of the hospital and rescued it twice from bankruptcy, to come in and act as our chief financial officer. And that has just made a complete difference in not only the way we operate, our understanding. Some basic things. The district had 25 bank accounts. Okay, that creates all kinds of problems, and just in terms of account for your money. In addition, it creates an environment where people could easily embezzle. It would be very hard to detect it. And so it put it at a great deal of risk. We're now down to two bank accounts. So we have an understanding of our finances, our money, and we've got that under control. The rest of it, we have invested in treasury bills. California state appropriately requires special districts like ours and all taxpayers' contributions to be 100% guaranteed. They can't be placed into a bank account. The previous board had violated that pretty egregiously, but now all of our money is 100% guaranteed. And treasury bills, of course, meet that. And they're of the legal investments. They have the best return. So, for example, last month on our on the cash we have on hand, we were able to accrue $41,000 in interest, and so that's a key part of our future financing. That's very positive, and so I hope that the takeaway here for the taxpayers is that we are doing a good job of using their money very wisely so that we can get the best deal we can for the public.
The grand jury report recommended hiring staff and noted approvingly that changes were being made as its investigation was underway. The report is available on the Mendocino Coast Healthcare District's website, mchcd.org. It will also be discussed at the regular board meeting this Thursday at 6 p.m., The meeting is accessible on Zoom or in person in the Redwoods Room at the hospital on 700 River Drive in Fort Bragg. For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reif. For all our local news, with photos and more, visit kzyx.org.